I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You are listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Shore. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Shore, it won't let you down.
Hello everyone, you're all very welcome to the All-Ireland Hurling Final Preview Show, brought to you by Shore, 72-hour protection. It's our first preview show of the year, and I'm delighted to say that we're joined by Galway Star and the PWC Hurler of the Month for June, Conor Whelan. How's it going, Conor?
How are you? All good?
Not too bad. So how are you after the last day? Are you the type that watches the game back to kind of to forget about it kind of a thing? Or do you kind of just try and move on?
Probably a bit of both. I haven't watched it back yet now, but yeah, we'll definitely maybe later on in the year we might bring ourselves around to watch it, right? But look, it obviously massively disappointed. Probably felt we're in a decent position at half time, and you know, obviously Limerick managed to, I suppose, wrestle control of the game, and I suppose we never really managed to take it back, I suppose, really.
It's a tough thing to do, I'd say, watching games back, especially after you're after losing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be huge into it myself now, really. Probably just, I suppose, definitely wouldn't be looking back at once, I suppose, throughout the course of the championship. But when it comes to, I suppose, semi-finals and stuff like that, I suppose it probably won't look for great viewing. But yeah, sometimes you have to just grin and bear it, I suppose, really. But really, we definitely won't be doing it anytime soon anyways.
Yeah, I suppose it's something at times you can maybe learn from things. Maybe at the start of next year or something like that might be a better time. Like, do you find video analysis in general beneficial, or is it kind of a bit overdone?
I think it's definitely beneficial. I think, you know, even from the game itself, I'd say there's probably things I'm thinking in my head at the time that will probably play out differently when I watch it back. So yeah, look, at it, it's obviously very informative that way, and I suppose there's any amount of stats and stuff out there that you can get, and you know, I suppose if that's the type of player you are. But for me, I suppose really I wouldn't be huge into, I suppose I'd look at a game and watch the clips back and see if there's anything that I could have done differently and could have improved on, and I think, you know, that's probably is as far as it goes, I suppose, really.
Were Limerick just a different kind of a beast in the second half to what they were in the first half, or would you put it down to a bit of maybe ye running out of steam?
No, I definitely don't think we ran out of steam, to be honest. I think, you know, any team that's training since last November, you know, it's kind of hard to see how you'd run out of steam, to be honest. But yeah, look, I think we prepared, you know, very well for the game, and we felt, you know, very confident in our abilities, and you know, there's massive belief in that group. But it's just, yeah, look, I suppose at half time we probably probably could have been more ahead, but you know, credit to Limerick, the team they are, they managed to, I suppose, grind it back to 1 or 2 points at half time, and then you know, went out in the second half, and I suppose, you know, Limerick just managed to control that middle third, and you know, that's probably the single biggest learning that'll be taken from it is, you know, when we do watch it back, I suppose, is trying to understand how could we manage that differently, and what could we as individuals and what could we as a collective have done differently, I suppose, really.
So do you think, like, just say if you're Kilkenny this weekend, like, did Limerick, when they take over that middle third like they so often do, is it them increasing their tackling, increasing their intensity kind of a thing? Or what do you put it down to? Because they often come with that kind of a second half surge right at the second half that can blow a lot of teams out of it. I know they did it with Tipperary twice or three times down through the years.
Yeah, look, I suppose there's probably a multitude of factors in it, really. I suppose, you know, they kind of, I suppose, sent more bodies into the middle third there. And, you know, what that meant then was that, I suppose, our puck outs was a, I suppose, there was a mass of bodies there. And, you know, I suppose they're a very strong and physical outfit as well. And, yeah, I suppose it's probably a massive learning for us in terms of, I suppose, looking at it and seeing what could we have done differently. And, you know, I have no doubt that the Cats will be looking at that and seeing, I suppose, what could they do differently as well and stuff like that. And yeah, look, I suppose it's, you have to stand back and give Limerick, I suppose, credit for the way they went about it. And you know, we just have to digest that we didn't handle that. And you know, that's just something that we have to spend the winter, I suppose, trying to figure out, I suppose, really.
Yeah, Henry was after the match, he was talking, and he was asked, do you know, did he kind of see progress? And he said, you know, it's hard to see it at the time being when you're after losing at the same stage. But he did say that he thought that, you know, in his second year, the team were a little bit closer together and that there was improvements that way. Like, did you feel that yourself, that you were, that you're kind of, you improved maybe as a group along the way?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I think when you're analysing any year, I suppose, unless you're winning Lee McCarthy, it's an unsuccessful year. And, you know, that's the harsh reality, I suppose, really. And yeah, I suppose, look, you have to give Henry massive credit too for, I suppose, you know, he's travelling up from Kilkenny. He has a family and a wife, and, you know, it's a massive commitment for him, and we have huge belief in Henry, and all the players are fully behind him. And, you know, I think people have to also understand that we're going through a period of transition, and we've had, you know, Johnny Cone and Aidan Hart and James Gehl and, you know, Paul Clean and all these lads, you know, who were massive leaders in the group. And, you know, we have younger lads coming through from an array of different minor teams and under 20 teams, and we're still trying to bed them in, and still very much a work in progress. And, you know, I suppose, you know, Henry has managed to develop a couple of players, and, you know, I think it's still very much a work in progress as well. So,
yeah. So looking ahead to the final, Connor, will you go to it, or will you watch it at home, or what's the plan for you?
I'd say I'll probably go to it. Yeah. I was up at it last year there as well. So, yeah, I'd say I'd probably go to it. And, you know, obviously having faced both the teams this year, you know, they're two very good teams. And, you know, they have, I suppose, in attack, they have players that are, you know, in flying form as well. And that'll be interesting to watch, to see Aaron Gillan, to see Owen Cody, and see TJ and Hegarty and all these boys playing. And, you know, just seeing how that battle plays out, I suppose, really.
When you're at a game like that, like, say, last year, would you, like, is it hard when you're sitting there thinking, I should be there, or are you able to sit back and enjoy it? And maybe would you be looking at lads like Gillan and Cody as inside forwards as well, seeing what they do?
Yeah, look, it's obviously very hard. I suppose it's very hard when you're playing, I suppose. I wouldn't actually watch a massive amount of hurling, I suppose, really, to be honest. But yeah, look, it's very hard to sit back and enjoy it. You know, knowing that there is the possibility that you could be there. But I suppose, look, we had our chance and we didn't do it. So you have to stand back and say fair juices to them too. And yeah, look, obviously you'd be looking at Aaron Gillan and Owen Cody and, you know, Martin Keown, these inside forwards, and just watching what they do and, you know, see is there anything that you can take from them. And, you know, look, they're amazing players as well and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out, I suppose, having faced both of them, I suppose, really.
Yeah. I want to take you back to 2017, when you played your first All-Ireland final. Like, it's obviously a huge day in someone's life and in their career, and you've probably been dreaming about it since you were a young lad. And I know you played in minor finals and so on, but does, like, on the week of All-Ireland senior final week, when it's your first year playing, like, were you able to sit back and enjoy that week, or do you remember much about it?
That was, are you talking about 2015?
Or 2015, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I was in college in Limerick at the time, and Anthony asked me in, and I think November, December, and it just didn't really, it just would have been kind of too hard to handle it all. So I kind of left it off, and then he asked me again to come in then in, I think, March or April time, which is crazy, really, when you think about it now. I think they had a game or two played in the Leinster Championship or something, and I just came in. I think that was the time, it was when you go back to your club and play two or three games or something in Galway. So I went fairly well in the club scene, and Anthony picked up the phone and rang me, and I headed down training with Colin Cannon, and I didn't really have a notion really what I was at, but sure, kind of snowballed from there really. And we played a kind of a challenge game amongst ourselves in Thurles, I think the week before, playing Cork in the quarter final, and I ended up scoring a few goals, and then all of a sudden, before I knew it, I was playing against Cork. I was making my debut, and sure, I didn't really have a clue really. Like, I was just very much an 18-year-old, you know, I was in first year college, I was tipping along. I think I ended up going out in Loughrea, I think, that night after the quarter final. I think most of the boys went to town, which is what most of the adults do, but I just ended up going to Loughrea because that's where most of the boys are going. And sure, look at it, obviously we bet tip in the semi final, and then you're in an All Ireland final, and I suppose at the time you probably don't really realise kinda like even how hard it is to get there. And you know, you're like, I was playing with the lads, but you know, I wouldn't have even known them all that well really. But look, you still look back and say, Jesus, you know, like, we could have won it and we should have won it, but we didn't. But it's just like, it's kind of a mad story really, to be honest, in ways, because you're kind of saying like, Jesus, how did you even, you know, how did you even end up here? And then you're heading into, you know, you're heading back into the college scene then, and all of a sudden, you know, like, it's just a completely different ball game. And you know, it's just something that when you look back, and it's just mad, like, really, that you just, like, if you'd said to me in March or April that you're going to be playing in an All-Ireland final against Kilkenny, I'd have, like, you know, like, well, what's the chances, I suppose, really.
So you probably were in college around the time of the final then, like, around, it was probably been September back then, am I right in saying?
Yeah.
Like, Shane McGrath from Tipperary had a piece on RTE this week, and he talked about the whole week to build up to the final, and he said that some people they want the week to go as quick as they can, and they just can't wait for the ball to be thrown in. But he said he kind of embraced the whole, people will be calling up to his house to wish him luck, and he said there was even some people in tears wishing him luck. There was more people on to him looking for tickets for the match, and he said he kind of just embraced that and enjoyed all that. Like, how did you deal with that in your first year? I can imagine in college there was a lot of people asking you about it.
Yeah, I think at the time I was transferring up to Galway, so I don't know, was I even in college really at that stage, to be honest. But I Yeah, it was mad. Yeah, like you had people ringing you for tickets there and stuff. And sure, I didn't know anything about it. Like I didn't have a clue. Like I was literally just playing. Like and yeah, it's just one of the mad things. Like where you know, like I think obviously Galway being in the final in 12 as well, and you know there was massive leap in Galway. And you just said obviously people getting very very excited and. You know, I think there was a couple of journalists ringing my parents and stuff like that as well. And, you know, like that's something that like hadn't really planned for that really. But yeah, I don't think it really affected me too much because I was actually, you know, I so wasn't in that bubble that, it, you know, I was literally like, what are all these people getting so carried away with, I suppose, really. But I suppose as time goes on, yes, I suppose you kind of realize how hard it is to actually get to a final and I suppose how hard it is to win them as well. So yeah.
Does it come a stage, thinking back to 2015 again, where it actually hits you, like whether when you're on the bus and you're driving in through Drumcondra there, or whether it's coming in and seeing some of the Galway fans in the streets going in under the tunnel, like does it hit you at a certain stage, or even when you walk out on the pitch and you're just like, Jesus?
Yeah, like obviously when you're going around in the parade beforehand, you're thinking like there's nowhere else that I'd rather be here. I suppose, yeah, I was just really, really blessed, I suppose, really that Anthony and Eugene Clunan and Pat Malone and Damien Hurley took the plunge of me really. But yeah, it's kind of one of them things like where you're just, I suppose, you just can't believe really what's going on, and you're just like you haven't even got time to process it, because if you spend time processing it, it's going to do your performance, it's actually going to hinder your performance. So it's literally basically I've got this chance, this is magic, let's just roll with it and see where it finishes up. And unfortunately it didn't end up the way that we wanted, but yeah, look, that's just sport really, isn't it?
Now that you mentioned the parade, like when you're walking around there, like the hair would be standing on the back of your neck as you're sitting in the stand. I think it was in 2017 when a few your friends had the Wheelows Army flag up in the Hill 16. Like would you notice, would you ever see people in the stands when you're walking around in the parade? Like would you be enjoying it that way?
You wouldn't really, to be honest. You like on a final day like that, the noise is so loud that you wouldn't even be able to hear one of your teammates. But it's not, you know, it's not specified noise really. Like it's just massive, like yeah. Elation and noise, and it's just like everything is just like everything you do is almost like, you know, any action in the game comes with a high pitch and noise, because you know there's tension there and things are so nervous and stuff like that. But no, you're very much just clued into what you're doing and what you're trying to do, and you know, trying to ensure that I suppose that your focus isn't get taken away from it. And you know, I think I've seen that flag in the stadium then afterwards after we won in 17, and yeah, it was pretty mad stuff now really.
Is it hard to get used to that, like when you're maybe used to whether it's hurling club or minor, say that there's not a huge noise in a stadium, and then like on whether it's your All-Ireland semi-final or final the first day, that there's actually like just so much noise, like it's probably just a different atmosphere to even hurling.
Yeah, it's definitely completely different, you know. It's like I suppose they're the days that you dream of, I suppose, really. And I suppose at this stage I've been lucky that I've played in big finals, big games. I suppose that's, you know, that's the thrill that you're always chasing, you know, even the semi-final the last day, you know, big crowd there, and you know, those are the days that you want to perform and you want to play well in. And yeah, look, it's you know, it's a huge honour as well. You know, I think that's something that gets lost sometimes, is that, you know, you're absolutely blessed to be able to go and play for your county, and you know, every single one of us gives it absolutely everything we have. And you know, that's just, you know, some days it goes for you and some days it doesn't, and you know, that's why you have to savor the days to do, I suppose, really.
Yeah, you mentioned there like when you came on first, when you were called in 2015, that kind of thing mightn't happen now. And Michael Casey was talking during the week, and he said that when he came back from, he was out with the cruciate, when he came back, that he noticed that the whole thing had changed so much in terms of even just whether it's commitment or the type of training you're doing. He said Barry Nash, for example, he was a cornerback when he left, and he was a corner forward when he left, a cornerback when he came back. Since 2015, have you noticed much changes in the preparation that way?
Conditioning and tactically, and I think the game has changed massively, to be honest. There's a way bigger focus on, I suppose, crowding the middle third now, and focus on your own puck outs and opposition puck outs and working ball shorts and stuff like that. Whereas when I started in 15, there wasn't really much working a ball short or stuff like that. And the game has changed massively, and going back to your point, I think it's consistently changing, and who knows where the game is going next, I suppose, really.
Yeah. I was reading Seamus Kennedy in 2019 did a diary for the All-Ireland final week, and he said that one of his pre-match routines was that he'd go to the local river and he'd of a Friday and just get in and kind of try and ease out the muscles, that kind of thing. David Reedy was interviewed this week, the Limerick hurler, and he said, "We're farming at home, so I do a bit of work. Some lads think I don't do that, and I'd like to disagree with him. But he said it's nice to have that switch to go out on the farm for an hour, leave the phone inside, and switch off." Do you try, like, when you're hurling and there is a lot of talk about it, do you have a way to switch off like that, or how do you deal with it that way?
I suppose, look, we have a family farm at home as well, but I don't know, do I usually use it for that purpose, really? But
should not be out working on the type farm?
Part time is all. I know, in fairness, I wouldn't be hugely into the hurling, I wouldn't be massively into watching all the games and all that sort of stuff. So I just find I kind of just tip along and, I play the games and just, I suppose your social circle is probably really important in terms of, anyone you meet is kind of going through the game and analysing it for you. So, I was doing a bit of subbing in a school here in Ballygar this year, and I was getting plenty of feedback in games there as well. So, I kind of have friends there, I suppose, that are out of that circle. So it's been some time away that way, and the father's a blocker there as well. So we'll give him some credit for some therapeutic experiences as well, away from the hurling and that as well. So I wouldn't be I wouldn't be wanting to sit down and go through all the games the weekend and stuff like that. So I suppose it just doesn't really get that lost to me, I suppose, really.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's overanalyzed, and obviously sitting here, we do a podcast here every Monday, we're obviously the ones guilty for that, but there does be a lot of talk, and would you try and avoid that kind of talk? I know Jackie Tyrrell was giving you a dig this year.
That's just part and parcel of the game, I suppose, really. You're going to get criticism, you're going to get praise. That's just, as someone said to me one time, don't get too high when it's going well and don't get too low when it's going bad. And I wouldn't be on social media really that much, to be honest. And so I probably wouldn't be seeing all your work and stuff like that. But it's I suppose that's just part of the game, really, isn't it? And that's your job, I suppose, really. And you can't go criticizing someone for doing their job, I suppose, really.
One thing that's changed this year, maybe the last 2 years, that there's no minor final before the senior final. I think you would have played a minor final before a senior final. What do you think of that the minor final is gone? Now that you're, say, a spectator this year, would you prefer to be going seeing a minor final before the game as well?
I think you would, yeah. And I like I think, you know, I think I've seen some there where somebody said it was like, I actually don't know where I've seen that now, but someone said something about, you know, it's unfair to ask them to perform in Crow Park before the senior final. And I think that's what every minor grows up of dreaming about is playing in Crow Park and playing before the senior final. And yeah, I suppose I played in one in 13. And yeah, like I played against Austin Leeds and that Waterford team. And that's something that you look back on as being one of the highlights. And, you know, like, I suppose they're starting their journey too. And I suppose you have to try and give them something to I suppose, dream of. And, you know, giving them, I suppose, the piece before the senior final is probably the perfect opportunity, really. And, you know, I can remember watching Shane O'Donnell when he was minor playing against, I think, Dublin. And, you know, looking at him saying, like, you know, geez, he's a savage player. Like, so, yeah, like, I can't see any reason why it's not on, to be totally honest.
Yeah. You mentioned Galan earlier, and he kind of reminds me of you in some ways, in that, like, this year, the way he's hurling this year, like in previous years, he would have sometimes got involved in little things. He might have pulled a little stroke here or there, and that's all right. But this year, he's not reacting to anything. And that's something I've kind of noticed about you from when you were hurling from a very young age, that you just don't ever get involved in any kind of, whether it's pulling a stroke or whether it's kind of getting cross with a referee indecision. You kind of seem to keep your head down and keep disciplined at all times. Would you is that something you focus on?
It's probably something growing up, I suppose. I think my father would have probably put an emphasis on just, I suppose, doing the job that you're supposed to do. And I suppose my job as a forward is either to make a score or else take a score. And I suppose anything else, I suppose, is probably taken away from that, really. And, you know, I suppose everyone has their own different styles of playing and stuff like that. But for me, it's always just been very much so ingrained in me that the best way to get at somebody, or the best way to, I suppose, upset somebody is to put the ball straight over the bar, I suppose, really. And that's just something that, you know, I just don't think there's any point in giving refs hassle. You know, I think it's a very, very tough job to do anyways. And, you know, I suppose logically speaking, is there any point, really? But yeah, I suppose, look at it, I just go and play the game. And I suppose I grew up playing the game and loved playing it. And thankfully I still love playing it. And, you know, that's what I'm there to do. And yeah, I suppose that's just always been the way, I suppose, really.
Yeah, and if you have cornerbacks niggling away at you, is it hard to not just leave it?
I suppose, look, that's just kind of part and parcel of the game. I think there's always going to be bits and niggles and stuff like that. And yeah, look, that's just the way it is. And I suppose they're trying to do their job, and I'm trying to do mine. And, you know, that's just very much, I suppose, that is hurling in a nutshell, really. You're trying to do your job and he's trying to do his. And I suppose the way it goes, there's only one winner and one loser. So look at it, I suppose that's just my mentality. And you just, I suppose, keep going and keep focusing on the next ball. And that's just the way it goes, I suppose, really.
Yeah. Last question before I let you go now. I've taken up enough of your time, Conor. But I want you to tell me, who is going to win the All-Ireland Final, who's going to be man of the match, and who is going to be hurler of the year?
A
triple threat there.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one now, to be honest, putting a miley. Who's going to win? It's going to be very, very tight. It's going to be very tight. He was at the final last year. Looked like Limerick were going to pull away a couple of times. Kilkenny always find a way to come back. But I think Limerick's know-how is going to ring true. I'm going to go with Limerick to win. I'm going to go with Gillan for man of the match, and I'm going to go with Gillan for her of the year, to be honest. They're my three punts anyways. I wouldn't be much of a betting man now, but you're looking. you can give me a shout next week and we'll see.
Definitely. Listen, thanks a million for that, Connor. Great stuff from Connor there. A huge week, All-Ireland Hurling Final week, and we spoke a bit to Connor about it, All-Ireland Hurling Final day, and he talked about, you know, the butterflies coming into the stadium, his first time he experienced it in 2017. I suppose thinking about it came up a small bit yesterday, thinking about the day that is All-Ireland Final day, and yesterday we saw that there's going to be no hotel stays. Maybe that's something to do with the price of hotels. That's probably for another show, not for the GA Hour, I don't think. But Kilkenny are going back to Kilkenny and Limerick are going back to Limerick. I know the Sunday game will be down there at their hotel, so we'll still have that. But there is a few things, like All-Ireland minor final was always on as the curtain raiser on All-Ireland Final Day, and it's the same with the football that was gone. That took place in the athletic grounds in Armagh before, what, two weeks ago, before the All-Ireland Final. So I don't know, does it take away from a small bit of the, do you know, the pageantry, I suppose, of the big day that is that? Or how do you, I suppose, on the minor final, first of all, do you miss that as a part of the big day?
Yeah, I certainly miss it as part of a big day. And I always remember being a kid going to Croke Park and All-Ireland Final Day and even All-Ireland Semi-Final and seeing the minors on first and rushing in to get to see the minors. And you'd always have the match programme, you'd see their names on it. And me and my cousin Mark, we'd always go to every game where we'd try to remember a name on the sheet so and see if they played well, figure it out. And then we could say, oh, we spotted him way back when, you know, and act like the experts in the situation. But it does take away from it. It definitely does. It takes away from their experience, first of all, in the sense that, like, Croke Park, the thing about minors at county level is that they're not all going to make it through. In fact, you know, less than half of them are going to make it through. So this nearly is the pinnacle of their hurling or football careers. And to say that they did it in Croke Park and got that match day experience, and, you know, it's something that'll last a lifetime. So they're missing out on that. But having watched the All-Ireland minor final in football, Derry and Monaghan, it was in the athletic grounds, and there was an added element to that already because it was two Ulster teams, so there's rivalry there. And in the athletic grounds, obviously, an Ulster ground, so they didn't have to travel very far. So you had a packed stadium. So the atmosphere was brilliant, in fairness, like, and watching it even on TV and, you know, hearing the crowd roar for every, like, referee decision. There was a sending off in the game, you know, and you could really sense the electric energy in it. But I still think if you were to ask them where they'd rather play, I'd almost bet my house that they'd rather play in Croke Park Day. Like, it's just, it's part of the event. It's part of the whole, you know, reason that you go. And coming, obviously, from Ulster, we get down as early as you can, you know, because you've got to get a parking space or whatever. And then, sure, you just spend the day in Croke Park nearly anyway. And so instead of spending it, you know, with your dad at the bar or getting hot dogs at whatever price, you could be sitting watching a great game of hurling.
Yeah, I think, like, the Ulster final or the All-Ireland minor final, it nearly felt like an Ulster final. Like, would you have that same atmosphere at an Ulster final, say Monaghan against Derry?
No, probably not. I mean, because there was just so much on the line. Like, it still would have been massive, especially from Monaghan's point of view. You know, like, there was just such an event to it. You know, Derry's coming, the senior team's doing so well. Monaghan were also in the semi-finals at this stage as well. So it just felt like everything was going right for these two counties, and whatever happened in their minor final might be a little indication of what could happen. You know, is it going to be your week or isn't it, sort of thing. And then Derry got the better on that day, but Monaghan would be pretty happy with how things went as well.
Yeah, I think the reason they changed it from the from it being a curtain raiser to the senior final is when they changed the minor from under 18 to under 17, that it might have been too big a stage for fellas who are so young. So maybe there is a thing in that. I'd say a lot of them, they're so, you know, young lads.
Yeah.
And especially county minors, they're confident. Yeah. They're a confident bunch. And
oh my God, no.
Probably.
I know. I don't really think, like, it's going to scar them or something. You know, like, here in this crowd, like a lot of the people that are going to be there, the neutrals who are there for the actual final, and they just happen to be watching. You know, they have no skin in it, and then the people who are going to be watching and invested in it, they'd be there anyway. And so if you're putting it in a closer environment like the athletic grounds, you know, they're going to definitely hear everything. I don't really buy that because, like, you know, the schools finals and everything, like the Hogan Cup, it's in Croke Park, and what age are they then? They must be about the same, 17, 16, a couple of 18-year-olds maybe. Like, I think Yeah, no, I definitely miss the minors being in Crow Park.
Yeah, they probably would be all well able for that. Yeah. And I know it was always a very good part of the day that you just, there was maybe more of a focus on it. And it's probably for another discussion that it changed from under 17 to 18 and same from under 21 to 20. It probably has kind of diluted the age grades a small bit that way. Definitely for another episode. But like, the All-Ireland Minor Hurling Final this year was in Semple Stadium. Clare beat Galway, and it was a brilliant occasion. It was a double header with the under-20s, and I know there was a huge occasion last year when Tipperary beat Offaly in the minor final in Nolan Park. So it still is big, but it takes away from the whole experience of the day, All-Ireland Final, a small bit. And I suppose one of the added things in that too is that on All-Ireland Final Day, the Jubilee teams from the years gone by they're honoured and they have their moment where the team, they all line up mm-hmm. beside each other and they're introduced to the crowd. And there might be a few clips shown on the big screen of these players they're playing, these legends. Like, and remember last year there was a lot of controversy, especially around the Clare team. The Clare team were honoured before Kilkenny and Limerick in the All-Ireland final. And, you know, they were waving to like an empty stadium, and Donal Cusack was saying it was a disgrace. And it was really, because no, like, if people were in for the minor game, this is just a knock-on effect. They would have been there and they would have been there to appreciate these people. So it's the same. It's the Offaly team from 1998 who are being heralded this time, and they mightn't have a huge crowd to wave at. So it takes away from it a small bit, just the occasion.
No, it turns that into like a tick boxing thing then. Oh, we've celebrated them now and it's done, dusted, get on with it sort of thing. Whilst before, because the crowd was there, you know, and you get a bit of a cheer. And even the ones who went to the game and didn't know which Jubilee it was going to be, but once they find out, they're like, oh yeah, do you remember him? And then it sparks a little them conversations and a little bit of history gets brought up again, and that's what it's all about. You're meant to be celebrating the past a little, so it definitely dilutes that.
It does. I suppose that's the last, I suppose we're starting off on a bit of a moan here, but the last thing is that they're not staying, they're going home. I know it was always a big thing in the past that they would stay and go to the Children's Hospital the next day in Temple Street, and the pictures will be brilliant on the paper next morning. And I suppose like that was the tradition as well. And chat to Connor about it there as well, that, you know, you'd stay in Dublin and you might wake up the next morning kind of having a bit of crack up in Dublin, a few early drinks and so on. And, you know, that is probably a bit of crack too. But look, we're not going to spend the whole day giving out. One interview I was reading this week stood out. It was from the press day. Limerick's press day was John Kiley's, and what stood out about John was like he doesn't like to take the centre of attention really at all. And he kind of, even though he is the manager and he's the boss, he is always giving praise to someone else. And he says, I keep telling the boys they would have done all of this without me. I'm not a vital cog in the wheel, nor do I want to be. I shouldn't be. In an effective organisation around this team, they should be able to cope without me being present at all. And he went on and gave all the praise to Paul Kinnark, who's the team's coach, and says, Paul, he's just world class at what he does. I believe he could coach any sport and do so at the very highest level. His planning, attention to detail, communication skills. And a lot of people do say, you know, Paul Kinnark is... he's the mastermind behind this unbelievable team. But Kiley still is, you know, he's the man that brought it together. He's the man that got Paul Kinnark involved. So I suppose it's easy to see how the Limerick players get on so well with him when you have a man that's as you know, as genuine and doesn't have a bit of ego, realizing his own self-importance, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think you can't win All-Irelands unless you've got a really good manager. Like, even if you have the players in the crop, I mean, there's so many brilliant teams out there that don't fulfill their potential because they're not guided by the right person. But, like, there is some elements to truth in what he's done in the sense that, like, these players can lead themselves. And you can look at that in other situations, I suppose. Even Derry, obviously, they lost their manager, but they were such a team full of leaders in the football, you know, that they were nearly able to just carry things on themselves, and it was a very much a player-led thing. I know Kieran Mina came in and
he was brilliant too.
He was fantastic, yeah, but his whole mantra was, we're just keeping things as they are, you know, because once you... Nearly the most important thing of a manager when they come in is getting that culture right, setting down the ground rules, what the expectations are, what they expect of you. I mean, it's all about maintaining that and not letting standards drop. And you always hear managers too, I think every manager now at all levels have a leadership group, you know, where they maybe the players vote for four or five players. They're now the leaders. They all go in a group chat. The manager nearly delegates everything to them, or whenever there's an issue, the players go to that group first. They see if they can solve it, and if they can't, then it goes higher again till the manager, and he obviously has final say. But, you know, like it's almost like a democracy nearly, rather than a dictatorship as the modern manager. But it's still so, so important. Like nearly the hardest part is getting those standards set and everyone to buy in. And then once you get them in and they can start running it nearly themselves to a certain degree, that's when the success starts to happen. But he is a really genuine fella. Like I enjoy listening to him, and you can see why they're all in when he's in charge.
He is genuine. You can see that in him, but he has the kind of the hard edge about him as well. And you can see that in some of his interviews, he can get cross. Mm-hmm. Like the one with the Nicky Quaid, the controversy that came out around that. John Kiely was, you know, he was going on as if it was crazy that he was being asked about this when it was brought up. So he has that kind of, he has that hard edge about him as well. Do you see similarities in between the way he manages it and the way that Jim Gavin managed Dublin, in that they do talk a lot about, you know, the process, and they talk about enjoying the moments and all this. And they've obviously enjoyed similar levels of success to what that Dublin team have done as well. So... Do you see similarities there between his management style and Jim Gavin's?
Yeah, I do. And like I did a lot of reading on Jim Gavin, and just even interviewing Dublin players and reading some of their books and hearing about the six in a row and whatever else. And a lot of them, they're all into these you know, psychological books now, and some of them are very popular. One of them is Legacy, and it's all about the All Blacks, and because the All Blacks is like the most successful team in any sport, like over the last 75 years or something. This guy wrote the book Legacy, and it's all about how it's all because it's a culture. And you'll always hear them say this phrase, and it comes from the book: everything you do as a player is about leaving the jersey in a better place than when you've got it. And how many times have you heard managers say that before? And then when I read the book, because everyone kept talking about it, that was like one of the first lines, and I was like, this is where they're getting it from, you know. So it's nearly like a core thing that they're taking it from. So they're all these sort of high performers, and they're very much into like grabbing things by the root, whilst before, I think managers would have come in and nearly their job would be to run the balls off them, then scream at them in the changing room to get them so hyped up that they run out there and they're doing it for their county and for the jersey. Whilst now it's more of like, not a robotic, but like
it's a system. Like.
It is a system, but even the way that they think about things is like in a system, and it's everything's about the here and now. And like one of the things in the book as well was is this win mantra. So what's important now? So, and then that'll lead up to win, like an anagram. And then everything's about taking you back to the present. And it's like, don't think about the mistake from previously. Like Kerry against Derry, you know, David Clifford gives the ball away to Brendan Rodgers, and within 17 seconds, he scored a point himself, you know, from giving the ball away. Like, he wasn't thinking about the mistake or losing himself and that. And that's just the thing with these high performers and getting them tuned in correctly and into this winning environment seems to be what these sort of managers are doing. Although I would say that he shows a little bit more personality maybe than Jim Gavin sometimes. You've never seen Jim Gavin lose the rag in any sort of sense of the word, or give absolutely anything away in an interview, to the point where it was just a little boring nearly.
Yeah, definitely was at different times. John can get excited at times, which I think people do like that about him. As well, just before we get into analysing the game, one thing that caught my eye and might interest you, Lee, came from David Reedy, who was up for the Limerick Media Day this week. And he talked about, this is a fella who was dropped off the panel, didn't make it initially under John Kiely, so went hurling with Kildare under Joe Quaid, who is a Limerick man and uncle of the Limerick goalie, Nicky Quaid. And, you know, he convinced him to hurl with Kildare, and Reedy burned it up for Kildare that year and was called back into the Limerick panel. And he said that one of the first things when he came back into the panel that was happening at that time was they had a boxing fundraiser event taking place between all the players. And it was only when he was talking about it during the week that I realised how serious they took this, that they were doing a lot of training, you know, focusing on boxing, and they had the bouts all lined up.
Yeah.
And it was David Reedy against Aaron Gillan. And Reedy described it this week. He said, "I came out with a win, though. I put him down once. There was only one knockdown in the whole event. Aaron Gillan was down. He said it was a slip, but it wasn't. It was it was 3 2-minute rounds. And I was way more nervous than anything I ever done." So isn't that mad that I was way more nervous than anything I ever done? Like, he's coming into the Limerick panel, and you're nearly focusing on, like, he's worried about boxing, like.
Yeah.
And it is a form of training that actually a lot of hurling teams do.
Yeah.
Because I seen it on a clip earlier this week, was from the Waterford team when Liam Cahill was their manager, and Martin Bennett was in as a strength and conditioning coach, and he had them doing the boxing as, like, a form of, I suppose, high intensity training that isn't running, and you're probably less likely to pick up a soft tissue injury from it. But yeah, I thought it was mad, and maybe interest you.
No, it does definitely. Boxing is, people find this strange to say, because it's such a brilliant cardiovascular workout. It helps your aerobic system, because everything's, like, say you're doing, but he did 3 2-minute rounds, like, that's, you do get a minute break in between that. So people think it's like anaerobic in the sense that it's like intervals training, so high bursts and then a rest, but it's not even, because you're still working longer than you're resting, so it's still aerobic as well. So basically it attacks your body in all the different ways, but you're so much less likely to get injured, which people find strange, because you're boxing, this guy's actually physically trying to hurt you in the ring, you're trying to hurt them. But you don't get into the ring unless you know how to protect yourself, first of all. And there's so few, like I never hurt my knee or my ankle or anything, you know, when you're doing boxing training. Like, the worst, really, you get maybe an elbow injury from hitting the bag wrong, or sometimes you can hit someone awkwardly and your wrist kind of goes. But, like, injury wise you're way safer boxing, which just sounds a little bit silly, but I can see why teams buy into that and getting their fitness right in terms of actually getting into the ring and doing it too, and him being nervous. Like, I get that completely. I mean, it's so individualistic, and Ryan O'Donoghue was saying it on the show a couple of days ago. We were talking about, it's a boxing podcast now, isn't it? But he was talking about, like, how nervous he would have been even before the fights, and how, like, you know, there isn't that team element. It's just you. And when you lose, you just lose, and it feels like it's all on you. But when you win, you know, you're the best thing in the world. So you can just see, like, there's huge, huge benefits to it. I can totally get why. And you're saying they did, like, a white collar event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Kildare did one, and only because I had to get photos in Sportsfile ages ago of Kieran McGeaney when he was Kildare manager. One of the first ones that came up was him boxing in this white collar thing against Kildare players and coaches and stuff. And he won his fight anyway, going by the photos. But they were all black, blue and bloodied, and they took it dead seriously as well. But I suppose if you throw what is essentially professional athletes into any sport, they're going to take it, you know, gung-ho.
Yeah, it's obviously to a lesser extent that teams might use a training.
Yeah.
Like with pads at the end of training or whatever. But you can see the benefits in it from the intensity, I suppose, that there is in GA nowadays, that you're, you know, winning a ball, you can only be going maybe for a small little burst.
Yeah.
But it's so fast and so explosive that the training can definitely help you that way. Just one more thing is Killian Buckley's wedding. He's the Kilkenny, he'll come on as a sub. He came on as a sub the last day. He scored the winning goal in the Leinster final against Galway. That amazing winning goal, but he's getting married the day before the game, which is unbelievable, really, when you think about it. He had the day booked, obviously, from a good while out.
Yeah.
And he was going on the basis that the All-Ireland final took place last weekend last year. So had it booked for this weekend, which would have been perfect timing for a man the week after an All-Ireland final. But to have it the day before is, it's absolutely sickening, I'd say.
No, it has to be. Oh, it's poor wife-to-be, I suppose, because you nearly feel sorry for her more than anything. But, still, he could have planned better than that. Obviously, August would have been the safe bet, because if there was a replay, and it was last week, and if there was a replay, it still would have been
no sympathy
hanging over them. No, I have very little sympathy. That was just poor planning. Everyone knows an inter-county player gets married at Christmas. That's the rules. I was at a Jerry Collins from Down. a player. He got married at Christmas, and then I was listening to another podcast, Brendan Rodgers, he's getting married this December, and it was all for that reason. It's just December is the only time of the month where you can definitely not cross wires, but I feel sorry for his wife to be, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Killian. No sympathy for you here. I suppose, look, he'll have the fact that Kilkenny are going down to back to Kilkenny the next day. I'd say that could be related to that a small bit, that they're going down that night.
Yeah.
Do you know, there'll obviously be Wally Walsh is his best man at the wedding, and he's actually getting married the following weekend, so he had a bit more cop on.
Yeah, he got sorted.
But
well, that's probably why he couldn't get married that week, then there'd be double booking.
Yeah. Won't they have they'll have a mad week, I'd say.
Oh yeah.
After the final.
If they win, it'd be a bit of a dampener, he'd be in a mood in the honeymoon.
yeah. But still be, do you know, they'll be letting the hair down anyway.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
Definitely time to focus on the match here. So it is Limerick-Kilkenny, obviously the same as last year. Lee, I suppose I'll never forget, I've been at so many All-Ireland finals with Tipperary playing, but I'll never forget the atmosphere at the start of it last year. Just the stadium full, the hair standing on the back of your neck, the teams walking around the pitch and everyone in the stands standing up and... You know, just an unbelievable day. So we definitely have a lot to look forward to on Sunday.
Oh no, absolutely. And then there is that sort of element. You know, it's seeing four teams again in the semi-final, same teams in the final. So does it dilute the interest at all? But probably not. You know, because there's still such a curiosity, and Limerick maybe aren't as invincible looking this time around as they were last year. And then with Kilkenny, there's new management. You know, there's so many new narratives and stuff. Do you think it's just as interesting?
I suppose when it was the same four teams in the semi-final, when you discovered that, it was a little bit, here we go again. There's no new narratives to the games. And obviously, the semi-finals were brilliant. Limerick and Galway was brilliant. Kilkenny and Clare was brilliant. But it was a little bit, you could have done with a fresh team in there. Could have done with a Tipperary or Cork just to freshen it up. I'm sure the teams that were in there were delighted. The same final again, it was the National League final this year as well. It was the All-Ireland Hurling final last year. So they've proved themselves to be the two best teams in the land. And on top of that, going back to 2019, Kilkenny are the only team to beat Limerick, this Limerick team, to beat them in a knockout game. Mm-hmm. I know Clare beat them in the Munster Championship this year and Tipperary beat them in 2019 or 2020. 2019, and so Kilkenny, they put it up to Limerick brilliantly last year, and I suppose that there is an excitement to that, because you just know that with Kilkenny, even against Limerick, and even if Limerick are brilliant like they were in last year's final, Kilkenny are the type of team that they will just hang in there. They're just brilliant at hanging in games, getting scores a little bit easier than the opposition, and that's just what they do. So you would expect a tight game.
Yeah, and do you think Kilkenny are better set now this year than last year? Even just things like I'm obviously, I have to sneak a Tyrone example into everything, but you know, and Mickey Hart was in charge for so long and he got the team into a really, really good place. But then when Brian Duir and Fergal Logan took, it just seemed that freshness was literally all that was needed to click on to that next level for that 2021 season. Sort of similar situation, Brian Cody's Kilkenny manager for decades. And now there's just that bit of, even though he got them to the final last year, you know, they lose by 2 points or something.
Yeah.
And they've got just this new freshness in with it. And would that nearly be enough to get them over the line? Does that change much?
It has to make a difference. It doesn't seem like much has changed.
Yeah.
And watching that Clare game, that was the thing. It didn't seem like anything had changed really, because it was the same Kilkenny that we're used to, just going till the very end. You think of Owen Murphy's great save, Conor Fogarty's block on Mark Rogers, and the way he reacted to that, he didn't react at all. Do you know that this is just what Kilkenny do, that they grind these games out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been the same. And Derek Ling was saying that this week, that, you know, he didn't have to reinvent the wheel when he went in. It wasn't broke, so you don't have to go and, you know, change things completely. So but I do think Derek Ling has obviously done a brilliant job. He served his apprenticeship under Cody, worked as a selector for 4 or 5 years, went with the under-20s for 3 years and won the All-Ireland last year. So that, you know, that was a good boost for him, and maybe that was the reason he got the job.
Mm-hmm.
But he does strike you as a similar sort of character to Cody. He's, you know, there's no sideshows. He doesn't make anything about himself. It's all based on, and you hear his post-match interviews, it's like Cody, it's on the work rate. What can Kenny do? And not much has changed, but just that little bit of freshness probably has kicked him on a small bit too.
Yeah, and you say, like, one of those post-match interviews here is, like, I think a lot of people would say, you know, you've done well to get to a final or whatever, but I think for this group, for ourselves, we're really looking to put in a performance that wins us the game. That's the reality of it, and that's what we're aiming for. I think the game is something that we have to attack rather than fear going into it. So he isn't settling with, like, a, you got to the final, all the pressure's on him, replacing Brian Cody, but, you know, if he's technically done just as good a job as Brian did last season, minimum. But he's not settling for that.
No, like, he was speaking about it in the media at the Kilkenny Media Day last week down in Langton's hotel, and he just said that this is the expectation. If you don't win the All-Ireland in Kilkenny, this is a bad year. And it's a little bit harsh because they've won a Leinster title. They got to a league final. That's a very good start for any manager, but it just shows the standards that are in Kilkenny and the expectations, and that's what it is about them, I suppose, that keeps them coming back, because unless they win the biggest prize of all, they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to respect it, the high standards that they have for themselves, the high standards that they always reach, and he's definitely kept that up.
No, absolutely. And then just on Kilkenny, you know, there's some changes to the team. David Blanchfield in for Kerry, John Donnelly in for Keane Kenny, Tom Phelan in for Conor Brown, and Conor Fogarty for Walsh.
Yeah,
does that all make sense to you, like, or do you think?
Yeah, well, Conor Brown he's emigrated. He's gone travelling. Mikey Carey was sick and he missed. He was gone travelling but was sick then and missed the Clare game because of it, and isn't back in time for the final. So David Blanchfield, I suppose, he's starting his first All-Ireland final, and, well, you'd imagine he'd start. He's had a slight bit of a knock in the last few weeks, but when he came on last year, he caught two balls, and one in particular caught it over Garrod Hegarty and drove it straight over the bar. So you would imagine that he'll be a matchup now for Garrod Hegarty, who hasn't been on the same form that he was on last year. Just hasn't looked as sharp, and we know what he did in the final last year. He scored 1-5, scored an unbelievable goal in the first few minutes. So Blanchfield's a big man. He's very good in the air, and you'd imagine he'll be tasked with, you know, stopping Garrod Hegarty. So that looks positive for Kilkenny from the outset.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll obviously be good. And I suppose Conor Fogarty, like, he showed in the semi-final that block he made from Mark Rogers. Unbelievable, and he's 33, but he's still so fit and so strong. And, you know, a bit like he's a workhorse in the middle of the field, so he'll get a lot done. Paddy Deegan was on Hegarty last year. It might switch the role up for him with because Hegarty did so well, and Deegan was a bit loose on him, so Blanchfield would be on him. You could have Deegan going out to midfield, Conor Fogarty going back to wing back. So I suppose they're the things. Tom Phelan, as you mentioned, he has impressed at different stages. It's a new ball game, obviously, against Limerick, and mm-hmm. it will be a bit of a step up, but he has impressed, deserves his place. And yeah, Pádraic Walsh will be coming in off the bench this year. He started centre forward last year. He scored a late point against Clare, and he's a great lad to be bringing off the bench for Kilkenny. So yeah, maybe they are in a slightly better place, I suppose, than what they were like. And I suppose you have to consider too that Limerick are missing Sean Finn,
mm-hmm.
probably the best cornerback in the game. Done so well last year in the All Ireland final, so they won't have him. Like, he would be, there's no doubt about it. He would be on Owen Cody, who's probably vying with Aaron Gillan for Hurler of the Year. 1-6 in the semi-final against Clare.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Finn would be the man for him. Now it's probably going to be Mike Casey. So will Mike Casey be able for Owen Cody? Like, that's definitely a matchup that Kilkenny will be targeting, that Owen Cody I'm not saying Mike Casey won't be able for him, but Owen Cody is on such form that maybe who's going to be able for him?
Yeah.
So the loss of Finn will definitely come into it, and whether Hannan gets back, that's another thing.
And then on Gillan, who do you think? Hugh Lawler?
Hugh Lawler will be on Gillan. Yeah, they had a great battle last year. Lawler won the first few balls, won a free off Gillan, and then classic Gillan, I think there was around 10 minutes gone, and he claws a ball out of the sky. Just a booming delivery from Sean Finn, catches it and leaves Lawler there. He's gone on the turn before Lawler knows where the ball is, and only he'd lost his hurl, he would have been in for a goal. He kicked it over the bar that'll be some battle. Probably the best full forward and the best full back in the game. Really looking forward to that. Gillan is so cute, and we've seen it against Doughty Burke, catching the ball over his head, kind of going on the turn, coming in behind, coming in, you know, just having defenders in front of him and leaving them like sitting ducks in front of him. And he comes in and swipes it over their head, and it's a goal straight away. So Hugh Lawler attacks the ball. He likes to, you know, really power into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder, will Gillan is just so clever.
Yeah,
the cleverest player I've ever seen the way he wins these high balls. So will he have a bit of cuteness on Lawler? That remains to be seen, and it'll be I can't wait for that battle, to be honest, most of all.
Yeah, well, I'm getting really excited just thinking about it, so I'm happy to hear your prediction. Who's going to win?
Who's going to win the game? You'd have to go with Limerick, and I'm going to say Limerick by 2 points. And the man of the match will be, I know you haven't even asked me this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, the man of the match will be Aaron Gillan, and he'll be Hurler of the Year as well.
Okay, well, much like Oisín McConville to Mickey Hart, just because you picked Limerick to win, I'm going to pick Kilkenny, just to be the opposite of you. And in that way, at least someone on the GAR is going to be right. Really excited to see the final. We'll do a review show on Monday, so be sure to tune in then. Thanks to Niall for coming on the show. Thanks to Connor Whelan. And thanks to our sponsor, Sure 72-Hour Protection. We'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Sure. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Sure, it won't let you down.